Hallelujah. So we're finishing up today. We've been talking about setting an atmosphere for miracles. And I think the Holy Ghost likes it. I think he likes an atmosphere for miracles. Amen. I think you and I have been talking about a number of things today. The last thing, it's not the only thing we can talk about, but the last thing I'm going to talk about is we're going to talk about the anointing. Everybody say anointing. What is anointing? Anointing just really means smeared on. When you anoint something, you smear it on. Well, what we're smearing on is the presence of the Most High God. Hallelujah. And so just to get right into it, we know this. Jesus was anointed when he walked on the earth. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. I just want to look at this part first. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 27, is as they were praying, it says, for of a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. So Jesus knew he was anointed, and he said so. And then the people recognized that Jesus was anointed, and they said so. And then one of our favorite scriptures about the anointing is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Why? Because God is good. Amen. If it's the anointing, whatever comes in contact with something bad, when the anointing is there, it'll turn it around, because God is a good God. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something about the anointing, the presence of God that was on Jesus, that really just attracted people. And I believe the anointing of God that's available today, it will again attract people. The anointing of God is the Spirit of God upon, in Jesus' case, and he was anointed to preach. And the Bible says that they recognized the anointing that was upon him, and an anointing caused him to go about and do good and heal all that were oppressed of the devil. And I'll just say it this way, the anointing just undoes everything that the devil would do, because everything the devil does is bad. I mean, we teach your kinder churchers. They can get it. The 4 and 5-year-olds understand this sometimes better than the adult. John 10 and 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you what? Life. And so it's so simple that a little kid can figure it out. The devil's always bad, and God's always good. If a bad thing happens to you, where'd it come from? It came from the devil. If a good thing happened to you, God. And the Lord doesn't believe in Halloween. What I mean by that? He doesn't have to disguise your blessings with something bad. Well, that was just a bad thing. That was just a blessing of the Lord in disguise. He doesn't have to disguise his blessing by trying to do something bad to you so he can turn it around. That is a silly, silly saying. It's not scriptural. It's not New Testament. Can the Lord take something the devil meant for evil and turn it around for good? Absolutely. But don't ever mistake the author of bad things. Because if you begin to believe that God sends bad things to teach you stuff, or he'll send you something bad so he can turn it around, you don't understand the new covenant. God is always good. Every good and perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness. No shadow of turning. In other words, no matter what you put into the equation, God is always good. There's no variableness. No matter what you put in the equation, God is always good. Come on, somebody shout, God is always good. It's not even my message this morning, but somebody needs to hear, God is always good. Jesus went about doing good. He went about doing good. Everything the devil did was bad, and the anointing caused Jesus to go undo it and turn it into something good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Because see, if you believe that God sends bad things, why are you fighting against it? I don't know why we're talking about this morning, but we're here. We might as well chat about it. Well, if you believe that God brought sickness, how dare you go to the doctor and try to get rid of it? Why would you fight against God? Well, I believe he's allowing this sickness. Well, then allow it to play all the way out. You don't believe that. You don't believe that. You don't. I know you all don't. But somebody watching me, you don't believe that. Not really. Not really. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus clearly said, everything the thief does, he steals, he kills, he destroys. And Jesus said, I've come to bring you Zoe, the God kind. No, not just normal life, the God kind of life. The God kind of life. The God kind of life. It's exceedingly abundantly above. It's heaven quality life right here on the earth. It's life and light that changes everything. What brings it about? What manifests, what causes it to manifest here on the earth? Well, it's the anointing. And everywhere Jesus went, people were attracted to the anointing. What is the anointing? It's the smeared on presence of God that was on Jesus' life as he walked the earth. You can look in so many places, Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. The people sought to touch even the hem of his garment, and whoever touched him in faith was made whole. Mark chapter 3, verse 10, they pressed upon him to touch him. A multitude that had, plagues and stuff. They just, everywhere Jesus was, there was something on him. There was something on him. There was something on him. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the anointing of God. And that anointing attracted people. And when people touched him in faith, that anointing, that power, that virtue went out of him. And it caused people to be well. Now, people are often wondering, well, do I feel the anointing? Well, feel is not as good a word as sense. Sense, where do you sense? You sense in your spirit. Now, but I'll tell you this, my God is alive and sometimes I can feel him. And there's nothing wrong with feeling him. Amen. But the real place it starts is in the realm of the spirit, is where you sense him. And so you can sense him in the room. You can sense him doing things before you even have to feel him doing things. And so I just want to tell you that individually, you don't have to feel power. You don't have, it's just like getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to feel fire to receive fire. But if you understand, there's a sense in the realm of the Spirit where these things are literally, really happening. And so I wanted to remind you, because what we're talking about is you receiving first individually. How many believe God wants to divinely intervene in your life? I believe he could talk you into it. He would like to divinely intervene in your life. I believe if you would cooperate with him, he would do some miraculous things. A miracle is just the divine intervention of God in the normal, ordinary course of events. So not just healing for your body, because people think of miracles, they think just healing. But God could divinely intervene in your finances. Some of you might need God to divinely intervene in a marriage, in a family, in a business, in your career. God cares about everything. I said God cares about every part of your life. Total salvation, spirit, soul, and body. He cares about everything. He's not just concerned with you going to heaven. He wants you to have some heaven on earth. Sure. Amen. Amen. Jesus prayed. Father, y'all believe Jesus gets his prayers answered? Amen. Father, y'all know this one. Your will be done on as it is in. Amen. Well, that should just solve a whole lot of stuff. That should solve a whole lot of stuff. Is there any sickness in heaven? No. Can we get almost every believer, every Christian to say that? Is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
We don't believe. Is there any poverty up there?
No.
Come on. He uses gold for pavement. Is there any fighting going on up there?
No.
Do you believe the denominations are fighting? There's nothing going on over there like that. Jesus prayed, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in.
Amen.
Then heaven's available. Because he prayed. But a lot of what brings heaven is the anointing.
Yeah.
The anointing is a heavenly substance. It's like, it's glory. It's what Adam and Eve were clothed in. And sometimes it can be seen in a room, sensed in a room, felt in a room. But God wants to do it for you individually. And so we've been talking about this divine intervention is for you individually, but then it's also for you corporately. But in case you're in the room and you need something from God, we looked at the woman with the issue of blood last time. And remember her. Because she, we didn't talk about it much last week, but remember virtue went out of Jesus? Remember what he said at the end? Who touched me? Remember he said that? Who touched me? What did the disciples say? Everybody's touching you. Because some people were touching Jesus to try and get something. This woman came to get something. It's a difference in faith, and it's a difference in faith and just trying something. I understand what people say, but I remember this one time I saw a bumper sticker. If you've got one, you know, it's fine. But it said, try God. What went off in my spirit is, if you just try him, you're never going to receive what he has for you. Because really, you got to get past to trying it. You got to believe it. You got to receive it. You got to receive it. And so that's what this woman did. Remember, she heard something. What did she hear? Well, she may have heard one of these accounts that I gave you. She may have heard that a bunch of people were touching him. I know she heard it. She heard that people were touching him and power was going out of them and they were healed of their plagues. I just read that to you. They touched him, even the hem of his garment, and as they touched him, virtue went out of him and they were healed. She heard that. How do I know? Because she heard that and she began to believe that. And as she began to believe that, she began to say that. And because she said that, she did that. And as she did that, then what happened? She received the virtue or the power that caused her blood disease to dry up and go away. Everybody in this room has heard something. You've all heard something. But then you got to believe something. And then you got to begin to say something. And as you say something, then you're going to have to do something. And as you do something, then the anointing or the power of God will be released into that situation. Amen? I'm trying to avoid something. I'm taking my time because I'm hearing something on the inside. And I already talked about it at first service. I guess the Lord likes equal. We're all equal opportunity around here, first and second service. So let me just tell you a little bit about something that happened to me this weekend. Y'all know I've had a little bit going on in my life. Have anybody noticed that? And some of them might think, man, Pastor Mark's handling everything really good. And he is, because he's got the grace of God. Talking about myself in third person, that's interesting. I'm just like you, though. If I don't watch things... I had a very serious attack on my body on Friday and Saturday. My blood pressure went, I don't know, I think it was 196 over 126 for 2 days, somewhere around in there. Of course, my wife was, we're going, and I'm like, okay, but first, anyway. So at 3 in the morning on Friday, I received my healing. I didn't tell you all the symptoms went away. I told you I received my healing. And that's good. So I know what to do. But just because I know what to do and I preach what to do and I'm anointed to do doesn't mean I don't have to do what you do. I still have to grab a hold of it. With all the symptoms. Now first I had to do some repenting. Because I know where it came from. That stuff I've been talking to you about on Wednesday night, like peace. And casting your care on the Lord. So I had to repent, and I did. There's about 4 or 5 things going on. I just had to cast it on the Lord, tell him I was sorry. I don't know when I became the God of my life. Forgive me. And I cast it on him. And then I began to do what I know to do, confess scripture. Because I believe something, because I've heard something. And I began to say something, and I received something. I did something, and he did something. And so today when I woke up, my blood pressure has really better than it's been in about 5 years. Praise the Lord. Now, I'll be real. Can I be real with you? After I said it first service, it tried to come back on me. I could feel it. trying to get back on me. But I've been doing, this is not my first rodeo. This is not my first rodeo. It's not my first rodeo. So I just thank God. But see, Lord wants to divinely intervene in your life personally. And he wants to do that for every one of us. I just took a little reminder. I usually don't talk about these things till 5 or 10 years later. I don't usually talk about what I'm going through. I talk about the victories and that help you that way. But I also just felt, and I did the first service, and I think the Lord just wanted me to be equal opportunity for y'all. Well, he said that in first service. He didn't say it in second. Well, I said it. And I just want you to know, though, the Lord wants to divinely intervene in your life. Just like the one with the issue of blood. You hear something. You believe something. You say something. You do something. What do you receive? His divine power, his anointing released into your life. And then corporately again, just for time's sake, Luke chapter 6. I want to read this. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Luke chapter 6. We'll look at it together. Luke 6, 17 through 19. And it came down, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed of their disease. That's so important. They came to do what? Hear and be healed. Faith comes by. Because I want to tell you something. We're gonna hold it right there. Just look at that scripture. But the anointing, the power of God. Remember last week we talked about faith being released. Because see, you can have anointing 100% or 1,000% in a room. But until you learn how to receive the anointing, you'll still go without. Instance, for instance. Remember last week? Everybody needs 4 crazy friends. Jesus was teaching in a room with the doctors, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the doctors of the law. The Bible says the power of God was present. What is the power of God present? The anointing was present to heal them all. But none of them got healed until somebody took the roof off and lowered someone down. And Jesus saw, he saw their faith. He saw their faith. Their faith activated the anointing for that man, and he was healed. The anointing was already in the room. Jesus himself was always anointed. But in his hometown, he couldn't do anything there because they would not mix faith with his anointing. And so Jesus is anointed here. They came in to be healed and be healed. Verse 18, it says this. It says, and there were many that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude did what? Sought to touch him. Why? For there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Now, one of the things about touching Jesus is because he was one person anointed of God. Yes, Son of God, Son of Man, one person anointed of God. So at that time, the anointing was there. But Jesus said this, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, can't come. How many of you know Jesus went away, and the Holy Ghost came? And the devil said this, the demon said, if we had known, we would have never crucified the Lord of what? Those words are not in there just by happenstance. If we had known, we would have never crucified the Lord of glory or the Lord of the anointing. The glory is the anointing. What happened? You happened. The body of Christ. What is Christ? Christ is the anointed one. You are the body of the anointed one. I'm going to have to help you believe this. You're anointed. I said, you're anointed. I said, you are anointed. Hallelujah. They all sought to touch him because virtue went out of him. And then now what's happened? We are the anointed ones because we are the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:21. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ, are you in Christ? He has anointed us, is God. Everybody say, I'm anointed. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're anointed. You're anointed. Amen. You're anointed. What is it? The anointing of God. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of God has come upon you. You are anointed of God. Come on, say it like you believe it. I am anointed of God. What does that mean? The anointing of God is smeared on you. You're anointed. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's get this one. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction. I like having an unction. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. It doesn't come and go. The anointing which you have received of him doesn't come and go. It lives in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 3:16-19. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So 1 John 2:27 says what? It says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. You know, any man teach you. The same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie. And even as has taught you, you abide in him. So listen to me. You are wall to wall, inside, outside, anointed. Don't be scared to say it. Say, I'm anointed. Who are you anointed with? Who? The Holy Ghost. It's not so much an it as it is in he. The anointing is he in you and he on you. The anointing. You are smeared with the presence of God inside and outside. What is it Smith Wigglesworth used to do? He used to look in the mirror and say, God lives in this man. Come on, we need to be more anointing conscious. Not because see, people think of the anointing and people get a little woo-woo and weird with it. I'm anointed, and you know, look at me. We're all anointed. And sometimes anointing causes people to do different things. But, you know, because I don't know if you've ever noticed, I don't use the word laity. I don't really like the word laity. Because usually when people use, I'm the preacher, you're the laity, it kind of causes a division. I'm anointed to be a pastor. In other words, that's my function. But you're all anointed. And usually when people like to use the word laity, that means preachers, you do all the work and we're just going to sit here. But that's not the way it works, is it? Come on, you're a minister of reconciliation. And you've been given a word of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. You're anointed inside and outside. I said you're anointed inside and outside. The presence of God on you. So what will it do? Well, let's look at this. Let's see what the purpose of the anointing. Let's go back in Luke chapter 4. Because if you look at it, well, that's the anointing on Jesus and Jesus alone. I just told you, you're anointed. Because it's not a different Holy Ghost. How many of you know Jesus didn't get a different Holy Ghost than we get? Yeah, but he has a different anointed. Well, he may have a different anointing, but you still have the Holy Ghost. And we as the body of Christ, we have the anointing. And you're anointed. I'm anointed. Are you anointed? Are you anointed? See, anointing, what's that anointing for? Let's go back to Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. It says this, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Is the Spirit of the Lord on you? Because he has anointed me to preach. You say, well, I don't want to preach. Well, too bad. Get over it. You're going to preach. You're anointed to preach. What does it mean? What's preach mean? Proclaim. Can you proclaim something? Can you proclaim what the Lord has done for you? Because he's anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know any brokenhearted people? Do you know any brokenhearted people? Then you're anointed to do what? You're anointed to heal them. How do you heal them? With the word of God. How do you heal them? With your love that's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You're anointed to do that. You're anointed to do that. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives. Come on, we know a lot of captive people. And guess what? You've been anointed to preach deliverance to them that sits in the prison house. The light and the word of God is on the inside of you. The anointing is upon you, and you can help get them delivered. Amen. Amen. Recovery of sight to the blind. What does that mean? Well, it could be physical, but here I believe it's more talking about spiritual blindness. You can give people the word of God and the eyes of their understanding can be enlightened. You can pray for someone that the blinders would come off of their eyes so that the word of the Lord would have free course in their life. to set at liberty them that are bruised. What's a bruise? A bruise is where the blood gathers, where someone has been injured. You are anointed to set those kind of people free. You're anointed to preach the year of Jubilee. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? That is the year of Jubilee. What is Jubilee? What came about every 50 years? What would they go around and preach? They went around preaching. What was Jubilee? Everything you had ever lost was immediately recovered that day. Guess what? Jesus is your Jubilee. Jesus is your Jubilee. Everything that the enemy has ever stole from you, that palmer worm, that canker, that whatever them nasty worms are there. Come on, he has redeemed you, and not only you, but now he's anointed you to set the captive free and to go preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah 10:27. The last part of that verse says that the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Whatever causes yoke on people's life, whatever the burden is destroyed because of the anointing. Yes, it is the Holy Ghost. But where is the Holy Ghost? He's in you and he's on you. Where is the anointing? You're anointed to speak a word in due season. You're anointed to help those who can't seem to get there on their own. Yes, God wants to intervene and do a miracle for you. Yes, he wants to help your family. But I want you to stretch out your tent stakes a little further and understand that we're creating an atmosphere so that when someone walks through those double doors, the anointing will be in this room and we can position them to receive from God. Because we're all anointed. It makes me uncomfortable. Because religion makes you uncomfortable. You're not religious. You're in a relationship with a living God who has said you're anointed. You are anointed. And what does the anointing do? It destroys the yoke of bondage. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful the anointing destroyed the bondage in my life when I was in my 20s. It literally destroyed the bondage that I was in. Hallelujah. Got rid of so many things, and I'm so grateful for it. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. The anointing, the presence of God, the glory of God brings liberty. Amen. So I'm telling you about the anointing today because I want to remind you, yes, Jesus was anointed. Yes, the anointing is the Holy Ghost. It is the glory of God. But that anointing is in you. That anointing is on you. And if you understand what that anointing is for, it's not just for the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. All of us are anointed. All of us are anointed. And if the body of Christ, the body of the anointed one, would rise up and understand, I am anointed, and this anointing does what? It causes me to preach to the poor. It causes me to heal the brokenhearted. It causes me to set the bruised, give them liberty. It causes me to bring sight to the spiritually blind. It causes me to heal the sick. How many of you know the Bible says the believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Would you agree with me that sickness and disease are a yoke of bondage, and the anointing will destroy that? How Jesus went about doing good, he was anointed of God, healing all that the devil had oppressed. Amen. You're anointed to do the same thing. Amen. You're anointed to do the same thing. Church was never meant for you just to come and sit and hear a nice word and get you punch your religious time clock and go home. It was always meant for you to come together, hear the word of God, be taught, be ministered to, but also be built up in a way where we could send you out so that you can affect the community in which you live in. Amen. Where is that? Your neighborhood, your workplace, your family. I'm getting free on Facebook. Hallelujah. Wherever. Your tweets, I'm not against, I believe they're not demonic anymore. Anyway, I'm just telling you, if you don't understand what I'm saying, I used to say things. Anyway, so I just believe God can use you. He not only can, he wants to. And if you'll position yourself, he will. Yes, I want you to receive for yourself. You say, well, Pastor Mark, when I get this all together, when I get my life together, then I'm going to start reaching out. That's a trick from the devil. Amen. We as Christians, I don't know how they made us try to think we all think we're perfect. I'm complete in him, but I know I got flaws and flobbles and stuff. But I'm not going to wait till I get perfect to reach out to somebody. Because we all wouldn't be here. At least I wouldn't be preaching. We all got stuff. We're all growing. And if you think you have to wait till you get perfect till you reach out to somebody, now I'm not talking to you about living in gross sin all the time and not being an example, because I know people hate hypocrites. You know, but it's so funny, people won't come to church because they say, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. People aren't hypocrites. They're just people learning and growing who love Jesus. Amen. Don't wait till you get perfect to help somebody. Why? Because the anointing is on you. You're anointed. You're anointed. And what will the anointing do? Well, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Everywhere God is, and so in your personal life and then corporately, you know, the Spirit of God wants to come and demonstrate. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul said this, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power." 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 says the same thing, "For our gospel came not into you with word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake." So where the word of God is ministered, where the word of God is spoken, the Lord can demonstrate. You say, yeah, we love that about Cornerstone, that the word of God is demonstrated here, the word of God. But listen, this should not be the only place it's demonstrated in your life. It should be demonstrated in your home. It should be demonstrated. You can have an anointing and the glory of God in your car while you're waiting to get into Redstone. Amen. While you're stuck up on Highway 72. And then when you get to work, then you believe you're anointed. I want to tell you one more time. You do not have a sacred and a secular life. Your life is not divided from Sunday one day and then all the other 6 days are another life. You have one life. Amen. 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 Everywhere you go, you're the same person believing the same thing. Don't let anybody put you down. Don't let anybody put you in a box. You are anointed of God, and you can change some things wherever you're at. Thank God for the anointing. So you can speak the word, and God will demonstrate it. Amen. I said, you speak the word, and God will demonstrate it. The anointing will come. And I'm talking about a feeling. I'm not talking about a feeling. I'm talking about a real power, though. Thank God we can feel his power sometimes. But it doesn't matter if I feel it or not. When I lay hands on people, I'm not looking for a feeling. I enjoy it when we have that. I enjoy when people talk about speaking fire. But just because someone spoke of fire and someone didn't speak of fire, I've had the person not speak of fire, get healed, and the other one not. That's not the point. The point is that the power of God is real. The anointing is real. It's sensed, it's known, but it also can be felt. I'm just saying, let's not get hung up on that. Amen. Amen. I just want to remind you of some things. I gave you five things. These five things are to you, but these five things are also through you so that we can create an atmosphere for the miraculous. God would love to divinely intervene in your life and in the lives of people. And so what do we remember? Number one, we talked about compassion. Remember Jesus was moved with compassion. And he is moved with compassion today for whatever you're going through. Obedience was the second one. How many of you know whatever he says to you, do it. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. And when you do what he told you to do or do what he speaks to your heart to do, you're creating an atmosphere for a miracle for your life. Whatever he says, do it. Peter, let down your net on the right hand of the boat. And he means the right hand. And so you do it. Number three, understanding that you have to create an atmosphere. And the atmosphere that you must create is one of expectancy. Now faith is the substance of things expected. You create an atmosphere of expectancy. You be a person of expectancy. The other thing that we looked at was faith. And I talked to you about just the woman with the issue of blood, the faith process, and you and I can do that. And today, thank God, the anointing is in you. I did this Friday night. I believe I'm anointed. I laid hands on myself.
What? Is that right? Can you do that? I'm a believer. Paul said, he's talking about the real him versus his body. The I in me used my body to lay hands on myself. I'm a believer. You're believers. But, I mean, God wants to do some things for you. But now I want to leave you with this. Because I believe in the hour we've come into from what Jim spoke to us by the Spirit of God, what the Lord just spoke through me before the service, the second service, what the whole series we're talking about here, is God wants us to, he's entrusting us in this room to create an atmosphere so that he can move. When you look at someone, they may look fine on the outside, but whether it's in this room or wherever you go, let the compassion of God cause you to do something towards people. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Be a person of love. If you love God, then you love everybody. That is an atmosphere that God works in. Number two, all of us obey in God together. Whatever he says, do it. When you have a group of people who are doers of the word or follow the Holy Ghost, even in a service, responding. If the Holy Ghost is teaching, we're taking notes. If the Holy Ghost is preaching, we're shouting. If the Holy Ghost is praying, what I mean is people are doing it, I'm in with it. I'm flowing. I'm doing that. I'm not following people, I'm following the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? We create that atmosphere of obedience. Whatever he says, do it. We have a group of people who do that. It is just an atmosphere for miracles. Being a group of people who come in together, we're expectant. Not just for ourselves. Lord, if anyone's going to be here today and they need something from you, I'm asking you to minister to them. I'm expecting God to move all the time. I'm so excited about what God's doing at church, but also once I get there, I'm so excited about leaving church and going wherever I go to work the next day. I'm excited because I'm expecting God to use me. I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting. And then, you know, corporately, I was joking about this with First Service, but did y'all read my tweet about, you know, we want to be a church that we would be invited into the room, not kicked out. And I remember when I said that to you last week, you all kind of gasped, and both services, everybody gasped. I didn't really mean it, everybody to gasp. Remember what I said? Jesus kicked everybody out of the room. That was an unbelief. Peter kicked everybody out of the room. I asked this question, would you be kicked out or invited in? Amen. We all want to be those that are invited in. Amen. Come on, you need to believe that about yourself. We need to be people of faith. We're people of faith, and we believe we'd get invited in. We wouldn't get kicked out. We'd be invited in. And you have that atmosphere, not an attitude of arrogancy. I'm talking about knowing who you are in Christ and knowing, because your faith works for you, and now you're working it for other people, and you can believe with them. It creates such an atmosphere. And believing in the anointing and cooperating with the anointing and expecting the anointing. You know, a lot of times when you talk about anointing, people are like, well, I'm anointed too, you know. I'm anointed too. Well, we're all anointed. But that anointing to best function, especially in a setting like this, it's best done decently and in order. And you're just going to have to trust me that I know the anointing. And I know the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, a lot of times when you feel like something is supposed to happen, if you'll just begin to believe and pray, not try to manipulate in your prayers, but just work with the Holy Ghost as he's going, we'll get there. We'll get there. And I believe that we corporately can do this. And I'm expecting big from God in the season that we've come into. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or if you've walked away from the Lord, I just want to talk to you just a minute. Not here to embarrass you, here to help you. Not going to put you on the spot, but I am going to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never made Him the Lord of your life, or you've been living in sin and just away from God, the Lord's pulling on you. He's tugging on you. There's no place like home. There is no place like serving God. If you're in this room, just everyone bow your head, close your eyes just a minute. If you're in this room, I want to pray for you. All I need you to do is lift one hand up in the air and say, Pastor Mark, pray for me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, or I've been away from God and I need to get back to God. If that's you, just lift your hand right now. Right there. Just lift it up. Just lift it up. Amen. Just lift it up. If you lifted your hand, you can put it down. Hallelujah. Don't let this moment go by. If you've already lifted your hand, you don't have to. If you've been away from Him, doing your own thing, you sense His presence in the room, and you know He's good and He's drawing you back, today is the day of salvation. Right now. Don't think I'm going to get it together, then I'll come back next week and then I'll do it. No, you don't have to get nothing together. You just got to say, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm coming back. And just trust Him. So again, if you're in this room and that's you, I want you to lift your hand. If you already lifted your hand, you don't have to lift it again. I sense a tug in my heart. If that's you, lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. If you lifted your hand and we're going to pray, I'm going to ask you to repeat some things. But everybody in this church, those of you watching, if that was you, we're going to pray together. So everybody in the room, lift one hand to heaven, because that's where our help comes from. Everybody say this, say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He was raised from the dead, and I receive Him as my Savior, and I make Him the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, if you've been away from God, you were born again, but you've just been living and practicing sin, keep one hand up and let's help them. And this is most of those who raised their hand. Say, Father God, I receive forgiveness for the sins that I've been committing. I believe the blood of Jesus washes me clean right now. All condemnation, all guilt and shame leaves because of the blood of Jesus. Father, I will serve You all the days of my life. Jesus, You are my Savior and You are the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name.